Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Nick Colvald, the director of the prestigious Kentucky Governor School for the Arts. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Leanne. I'm really glad to be here.
I know that a lot of our listeners are familiar with the GSA program, but tell me a little bit about the history of the program and the students that it serves here in the region.
Absolutely. So the Governor's School for the Arts has been around since 1987, actually. And every year since then, we have convened a summer program. It's what we're most known for, where we bring together high school artists from across the state. We now have up to 9 art forms that we focus on. So we bring together about 256 high schoolers from across the state for a residential summer program, meaning we live in a college campus. We've rotated a few college campuses, but right now we're at the University of Kentucky. And really, the point of the summer program is to bring together a community of artists that works with young artists from Kentucky to empower them to be the next generation of creative leadership for the Commonwealth. So we work with, you know, not just talented students. It's not enough to be talented to come to GSA, but really passionate students who are eager to learn, who are eager to connect with other people through their art, eager to be a contributing member of community, and young folks who are really interested in using their creativity to better themselves and to better the world around them. It's really about, you know, working with future artist citizens more than it is, you know, the best painters and the best actors in the entire world.
I feel like, although here in Kentucky, we are very proud of our artist citizens, I know that we constantly brag on the person that we know that is a big shot in their particular field. And because many places in Kentucky are small communities, we have that local pride in the individuals, and we celebrate them. But on the other hand, there's not a lot of opportunity, especially in like outside the bigger cities, there's not a lot of opportunity for people to learn and hone their craft. This particular program gets to student artists who are still at a young age to kind of spark them into what could move from a hobby to a career.
One of the most important things that we teach at the Governor's School for the Arts is that you can actually grow up to be a professional artist. It is actually a career that exists. You can actually make a good living. You don't have to be a starving artist to be an artist. And you can even do that in the state of Kentucky if it's something that you want to. We have, like you said, Leanne, a lot of amazing examples of artists from Kentucky and artists who have made the intentional decision to live here in all parts of the state, you know, not just our bigger cities, and because they feel like Kentucky is a place that inspires them as an artist, that Kentucky is a place that deserves art and deserves creativity and has a lot to celebrate. So, you know, a big focus at GSA is saying, you know, if you want to pursue this professionally, here are ways that you can make decisions about where you go to college, what types of programs are out there, what types of schools are out there, what career choices can you make, what skills can you really hone in on that are going to enable you to pursue the arts professionally in the best way possible. And I think one of the most powerful tools that we give students, in addition to the lessons we teach them, are the mentorships that they develop while at the program. I will say the faculty that I went that I had when I was a student at GSA, I'm an alum of our vocal music program. They mentored me all the way through my college decisions, my career choices afterward, as have my friends from the Governor's School for the Arts, my fellow students. So you really develop these mentors, these kind of partners in growth, and who are your advocates and your collaborators for the rest of your life. So. That being said, we also emphasize to our students, because, you know, they're only, 15, 16, 17, they have a lot of their life ahead of them, and it's okay if you don't want to grow up to be a professional artist. That is also a valid path, and what we want to emphasize for folks who might be interested in being a scientist or a business person or an educator is that those careers require creativity too, and they need artists as well. So regardless of where they go in life, their creativity, their creative assets, their creative skills they're quite gifted in are going to be a boon to them and something that they should always take with them.
I agree. Having an arts background myself, I'm constantly telling my students, hey, I don't have a degree in journalism, but this is what I do. And, you know, I didn't start out even in college going for a journalism degree, and but kind of fell into it by accident and really enjoyed it and learned a lot as when I got my master's degree and was able to go into that field, but still really utilize the skills that I learned doing artistic endeavors in my younger years. I use them on a daily basis, and a lot of people don't realize that that's even possible, or that the skills are applicable in two different spots.
Well, I mean, kind of going that role of artist citizen that we said earlier, I mean, that includes things like artist skills like empathy and communication skills and just the ability to connect with other people, and just to be innovative and think of, creative solutions to problems. I mean, artists have so many skills that are applicable to many different industries and just to society in general. So I completely agree with you, Leanne.
Now, I know the application process for the 2021 program is opening up soon. So tell me a little bit about what students are getting together in order to apply and what they need to be thinking about.
Absolutely. So, in order to apply for GSA's 2021 summer program, a student currently needs to be a sophomore or a junior in high school. And that can be a public school, private school, homeschool, but currently a sophomore or junior so that they are a rising junior or rising senior when they attend. The application process is a two-step process. So, we're, of course, currently at the first step of that process. And that is an online application. So anyone who's interested in being considered for GSA 2021 has to fill out an online application. All the information and links to that are available on our website, which is kentuckygsa.org. And that online application is due on January 10th. So if you're listening to this now, in December, great timing. You've got, over a month, about a month to get that in. And the application process does vary art form by art form. We have great documents on our website called applicant guides. There's one for each of our nine art forms that details the process out really nicely. So a great first step is to go to our website, look for the applicant guide in your art form, and give that a thorough read through. We're also hosting a series of virtual info sessions this fall, where we're covering everything from how to apply to what the application looks like to what the residential life is like at the summer program. And all of those have been recorded. So we have a great series of videos, some still to come that you can register for, available on our website that folks can learn more about there. But essentially, the recommendation process involves getting two recommendation forms, one from a teacher, one from a school administrator, responding to a couple essay prompts, answering a couple questions about your interest in the arts. And then from there, it varies art form to art form, but it's pretty predictable. So, for instance, if you're applying for drama, we're going to ask you for a video of you performing a monologue. Or if you're applying for a visual art form, we're going to ask for pictures of your artwork. Or if you're a writer, we're going to ask for writing samples. And I think it's really important to emphasize that all of the application pictures, photos, etc., can be taken with your smartphone in your living room if you need to. We've always wanted this to be an application process that folks can accomplish with as little fuss as possible. We don't want people hiring professional photographers or video crews, or at least feeling like they have to. But especially right now, with all of us kind of at home doing the best we can, we really want to emphasize that this can be pretty basic in terms of photos and videos and stuff like that. So again, all of that is compiled, uploaded onto our application portal by January 10th. From there, we invite us about maybe half of the applicants to attend a final round of auditions and reviews. Those are usually in person. We're still kind of figuring out if they're going to be in person or virtual. And that's in March. So from there's sort of a second round in March, and then ultimately we announce the class in April.
I know that last year the organization was able to get through the audition or the application process before the first round of auditions, before the pandemic hit. But things changed pretty quickly. I know of a high school student who ended up being a GSA participant, but was prepping for the in-person audition when the pandemic hit. So tell me a little bit about how GSA kind of, I guess, operated for that audition process, and then swinging into the program for 2020.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think pivot is the word that I have probably said more than any other word in 2020. And we were pivoting a whole lot last March. I remember it seems like it was a period of 48 hours, maybe sometime around like March 12th or 13th, where we went from thinking, oh, there's no way we'll have to cancel our final round of in-person auditions and reviews, to going to the place of, oh, there's absolutely no way we can do this safely. And of course, the safety of our students, our applicants, and their families, and our educators is first priority always. So last year, I think it was maybe a week before our live round of in-person auditions, we had to cancel them. And we really thought hard about, okay, what do we do now? Do we try and quickly, put something together? And keep in mind, this is when a lot of people didn't even know what Zoom was, right? And so we thought, is there some sort of virtual version that we put together, which with nine different art forms is very difficult to think about. And even then we were hearing about, oh, dance studios are shutting down, or students aren't able to get into their schools. What if that's where their instrument is at? So we really realized that to throw something together virtually that quickly was not going to be fair to the students and not serve them well. So we relied on the information that they had given us in their initial application, which is sort of a great coincidence that we happened to have all that in the initial application. So it was a little bit more challenging because we had a little bit less to go on than we usually do. But after talking to my adjudicators after the fact, we felt really confident that we had what we needed. That's why we have those essay prompts in there, as well as the examples of artistic work, so we kind of get a sense of the student's spirit and motivations. And once we got to the summer program, we definitely realized, of course, that we had selected a class that was really dynamic. And the reason I know that is because, as you mentioned, we shifted to a virtual summer program, which I'm the director of this program. I've been involved with this program since 2002. And I will tell you that 9 or 10 months ago, I would have told you that it is impossible to do this program virtually. But we had such a successful virtual experience. And the reason that it was successful, and I mean this, was because the students showed up, gave it a chance, and believed in themselves that they deserved a program that was good for them. So they contributed to it. They believed in its possibility of being a helpful, amazing program. And it was their contributions and their involvement and their resilience that ultimately made a successful program. So we had a great time with our virtual program. We're really hoping for an in-person program. I'm confident we can pull that off this summer. But if for some reason we have to go back to virtual, we're really happy that we know that the magic of GSA, the power of this program, the empowerment of this program is still possible through virtual means, because we're talking about artists, right? Artists can figure it out. A computer screen is not going to get in the way of an artist connecting with folks and accomplishing what they want to.
And I want to talk a little bit about how you guys managed to hold the summer program virtually. But first, let's take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hanukkah. It's one of my favorite times of the year.
Mine too. The holiday commemorates the rededication of the old temple in Jerusalem, and it's also a symbolic representation of the strength, the resilience of the Jewish people.
Hanukkah Lights celebrates the occasion with stories of the season. I'm Murray Horwitz.
And I'm Susan Stamberg.
Please join us for all new stories on Hanukkah Lights from NPR.
December 10th at 9 a.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Nick Kovalt, the director of the Kentucky Governor's School for the Arts. Nick, thanks again for being here.
Absolutely.
We're talking a little bit about the GSA program. There is going to be the application process opening soon. They're due in early January at KentuckyGSA.org. But first, I wanted to discuss a little bit about shifting the program to a virtual format last summer. I know that at one point it was like, did we even think GSA was possible when everybody was quarantined in their homes? And your organization was able to conduct a very, very popular and very successful program for the summer virtually. And how did you prepare for that? I mean, you guys usually spend months prepping for a summer program, and to go for just a month or two in order to prepare for a virtual summer program had to be very challenging.
Absolutely. You know, when we were thinking about the prospect of a virtual summer program or something other than an in-person summer program, we thought about, you know, these students who had worked so hard on their applications. You know, lots of our students are preparing for, or at least thinking about applying to GSA years in advance. And what I really focused on was the opportunity that these students were looking forward to of having a community of artists that believed in them in the summer, and also the scholarship opportunities that come with attending GSA. There are about 28 colleges and universities across the country that offer scholarships specifically targeted to GSA alumni. And we couldn't rob the students of either of those opportunities. So we determined we have to find a way to do this. And also, if we're going to spend every summer talking to young people about how artists can, you know, solve any problem, then how are we, you know, do we have any option other than being an example of that by hosting the summer program and inviting everyone in to sort of the problem solving and the creation process of, hey, let's all co-create this together. Let's all take this truly blank canvas and attack this challenge together, because it's going to take the contributions of each of us. We're all co-authors in this to make this happen. So, you know, one of the biggest challenges was at a summer residential program. You think about it, we always know where everyone is. We have relative control over the space. We know what the rooms look like. And now that had been turned inside out. Everyone was in their homes. We had no idea what everyone's level of internet access was. For our dancers, we didn't know if they had access to a school gym or if they were going to be dancing in their, you know, their bathroom. For our visual artists, we had no idea what supplies they might have at home. So we really tried to minimize mystery. Minimize mystery was a big phrase for us as we planned the program. And we surveyed the students. We asked them so many questions. They were really patient with us about their level of internet access. Do you have a laptop that works? Do you have a space at home that you can move in? If so, what size is the space? For our dancers, we were asking them to measure their ceilings. And we also adjusted our curriculum, of course. So for instance, with visual artists, they were working with projects that might rely more on materials you might commonly find around the home, or that you could find at maybe a Walmart or a local hardware store. We actually, for our visual art program, sent out art supply boxes to all the students across the state. And we also brought the parents in to the fold with a lot of intention. Of course, we always have a lot of communication with our parents, because usually they're dropping off their children with us for 3 weeks. And of course, we have a lot of trust to build with them because we want them to feel safe doing that. This time, the parent is kind of now a GSA staff member, a residential advisor, a faculty assistant. So we actually had webinars for the parents and created little guides for them based on the art form of just basically helping them think through the question that a lot of them were asking themselves, how can I support my student? Because a lot of the parents were going through a mourning process as well. And it was no less than mourning for all of us, I think, of just, you know, the opportunity that their child was going to have for independence at the program and a chance to grow and flourish. So we were in really close conversation with the parents, who were absolutely wonderful, wonderful partners in pulling off the program. And like I said, ultimately, it was the students. We said to them, listen, this is only going to work if you let it and if you play a part in that. And they really leaned in and made it happen.
Given the success of the virtual program, has the organization considered expanding the offerings or doing other options for teaching opportunities throughout the year?
It's a really great question. And the answer is yes, we've definitely considered it and thought about it, and we're trying to think through it. I'll say, you know, we're still very much in the process of getting through this pandemic right now, right? And like figuring out that even the 2021 summer program, while we're really hopeful that by then, you know, we'll have an accessible vaccine and that we'll be in person, even if that still means social distancing and masks and other safety precautions, you know, we're really focused on just trying to figure out the best way to make that work, because it will probably be a summer program affected by the pandemic, but in a different way than 2020. So that's taking up a lot of our energy right now, but I think we're very aware of the opportunities we may have in the future for expansion. If, you know, maybe there is a virtual summer program in conjunction with the in-person summer program, who knows? I think I'm also really excited about the possibilities in terms of what I would call our recruitment programming or our applicant prep programming. Again, this year, this past fall, normally I'd probably be in Moorhead right now or somewhere else around the state of Kentucky presenting to a classroom, or, you know, last year I gave a presentation at Fuzzy Duck. You know, we decided that we just couldn't get out into the state this year, one, for our own safety, but two, just because all of our students and teachers were in different places than they usually are. So we've relied a lot on virtual programming for our recruitment programming, and it's gone really well so far. We've had great interest, great attendance. We've been able to actually have like direct conversations with adjudicators, the people actually reviewing the applications, where we get direct feedback from them, which is, you know, I can't bring all those people across the state with me all the time. So that's been a really cool opportunity. So I'm really eager to see, you know, could we potentially do, you know, monologue prep workshops online that people could, you know, zoom into? Could we do, you know, portfolio workshops online? I think it's really exciting to think about, but we're definitely still in the brainstorming process. I'll say that.
I think there's always concerns with accessibility when it comes to these types of programs. It's difficult for students to travel. Some students don't have access to supplies or just space for whatever art form it is that they want to participate in. And the pandemic, as difficult and as challenging it has been for everyone, I think it has really forced a lot of organizations to recognize the issues with accessibility and to be more accommodating for all the students across the Commonwealth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's something that GSA, we've always recognized this, but I mean, I think the pandemic has brought up so much of this more to the surface, which is a silver lining in some ways, because I think it means that we're confronting it more and dealing with it more, just as a society, which is important. But you know, at GSA, we understand that there is disparate access to arts training across the state. And it's not just a rural and urban thing, right? You know, there are parts of Louisville where the access to, you know, arts training is disparate as well. But we recognize that, and we never want our applicants to pay the price for that. And so our approach to that, and it's not an exact science, but is that in the application process, you're going to see, we're going to ask you, you know, do you have an art program in your school, or is there a community theater that you're involved with? And when we're asking those questions, we're not doing it as a test to see if you're good enough or if you live in an artistic enough community. But it's really to give us a chance to understand you in context and what you have and hadn't had access to. And so our goal is sort of twofold. One, to adjudicate every student in context. So, because, you know, if we look at a painting by a student who's never had an art class before, and the same painting was done by a student who had art classes their whole life, well, that's going to tell us two different things. So we're looking to adjudicate the student in context. We're also looking for their potential just as much as their technical ability. Again, their passion for their art form, their desire to grow, and their ability to contribute to community is going to be just as important as how well they paint or act, honestly, if not more important sometimes. And second of all, it's important to recognize this program only works if the summer program is representative of the entire Commonwealth. And so that means people from all places, all regions, people from all walks of life, people who, you know, have different stories behind them. So that's really important to us. So we're always seeking a class that is representative of the entire state. And that includes whether or not, you know, you've been able to be in a play every year or not.
Absolutely. And really quickly, we're sadly out of time here on Open Mic, but let us know exactly where to go to get more information and how to apply for the Governor's School for the Arts.
Absolutely. So you can apply now for GSA 2021. All the information that you need to know about the application and the application itself is available at KentuckyGSA.org. It's Kentucky, all spelled out, GSA.org.
Great. Nick Kovalt with the Kentucky Governor's School for the Arts, thank you so much for joining us here on Open Mic.
Thank you. It's been a really good time.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.